Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
I am here, the one and only Victoria Gaither. Hey, everybody. Thank you much, as always, for taking the time to visit At Home with Victoria tonight. We are excited. Now, this gentleman has been on the show before, but he hasn't been on for 45 minutes, so I am stoked and crazy excited about it. Michael Tay Gray is here to join us tonight, and you probably know him. I guarantee you, if you saw his face, as nice as it is, you have seen him in many, many things that you've seen on television. He is considered a character actor, as Entertainment Co-House Michael has told me in writing and also in the past. He has been on Will and Grace. You have seen him on Without a Trace and also My Name is Earl, just to name a few of those shows. So without further ado, Michael Taylor Gray is here on At Home with Victoria. Hey, darling, how are you?
Hey, Victoria. Happy New Year.
I know. Happy New Year to you. How is it starting off good for you, by the way?
Isn't this year flying by already?
Yes, it is. It is. It is definitely flying by.
It's going really, really well. I mean, just I can't believe that season two of our show, our Pretty, is wrapping up near the end of the month. And but it's so much has happened over the last year, and just a lot of things are kind of really happening right now, because, you know, this is like award season, so a lot of good things are happening and coming up, so it's good, hitting the ground running.
And you know what, actually, speaking of Pretty, probably towards the second half of the show, when Entertainment co-host Michael Kay joins us, we're actually going to talk a little bit more further about that, because if any of you guys follow Pretty, you know that you guys have been nominated for an award, so we'll get into that a little bit later on.
Sure.
But first of all, you know, because Michael Kay does all this research, you know, he's like the research god.
Scary, but he finds.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is very scary. But something that I was struck with, that I really wanted to start the conversation about out of everything that he gave me, was when he described you as the character actor. Tell me a little bit about that. For some reason, that kind of struck me. So are there different types of actors out there in terms of style and how you guys perform?
Well, I think some actors might consider themselves leading men. Mm-hmm. You know, those actors that get cast in the main, as you know, sex sells. So, you know, you have the romantic leads. So the guys that get in cast mostly in those romantic kind of lead roles, the strong male roles. And then you have your, you know, like your supporting character ones, so those those characters that come in and like steal a scene. You know, that they may be just one scene in a show or in a movie, whatever. No, but you remember that moment. And I guess that's kind of like, at this time, that's kind of like my niche, and I'm having fun with that. You know, I'll play the sidekick or something like that, and those fun roles.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I can't remember what movie it was, but I remember sitting there watching it. And I remember thinking, although the main actor was very important, but it was a gentleman who played a secondary role, many like the roles that you do. And I remember sitting there watching and thinking that although the main character was cool, and of course he was the leading role, as you would say, that movie and the substance of what that movie was, it would not have been complete without that secondary person. So it is amazing that although you may have a main person, those secondary actors are just as important as the main people.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes the challenge is, you know, how do you make that memorable? How do you come in and put a spin on that moment? Because you're not necessarily part of the majority of the pages of that particular script, but how do you come in and how do you make that stand out and support in the storyline, you know?
Yeah, interesting. Now, in terms of acting, I know before, I just know a little bit about you because of all the tons of research that I get, but tell everybody a little bit about you and how it is that that you got started, and bring us up to date as to what you're working on right now.
Well, God, Lord, it's like, how do you go back so far? right. Well,
I know it's a lot.
That's right. Please tell us about your. This is your life.
This is your life. Yeah.
Right. No, I'm from the sprawling metropolis of Canton, Ohio, the Pro Football Hall of Fame city, for those who are sports fans. And I was very fortunate. We had a wonderful community center in the heart of downtown with a beautiful 300-seat state-of-the-art theater.
Wow.
And that was sort of my baptism in the world of theater. Mm-hmm. And then not long after that, I was, enrolled in college at Bowling Green State University
south
of Toledo.
I actually know Bowling Green. I know that university. I had a friend of mine who went to graduate school there, and we drove there for the graduation. So I very much know that school and that area. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, it's very flat. It's flat like Kansas.
Yes.
I'm trying to talk and be in the chat room at the same time.
Right, it's hard. I know. Multitasking.
It's a challenge. But Bowling Green was where things really kicked off for me, because my freshman year, I was cast as the MC in cabaret, and it was the first time they'd ever cast a freshman in the big musical of the year in a lead role like that. And, you know, I remember the head of the theater department said, you know, we're taking a chance on you. I was like, look, here I was like 18, and my eyes were as big as, you know, a deer in the headlights. And I was like, thanks a lot, Dr. White. that instilled some confidence. But that really, I really was trial by fire. And I was so excited to do that. And then I just ended up doing nonstop theater at Bowling Green for 5 years that I was there, and then I did a total of, over the years, 7 years of summer stock theater at the Huron Playhouse, which is the summer stock theater that's affiliated with Bowling Green on the shores of Lake Erie. Mm-hmm. And that theater's been running for over 60 years now,
that
summer stock theater program.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, talk about longevity for a theater. That's great.
It's the oldest continuous summer stock theater in the state of Ohio. And, Ron, and if anybody knows a really good character actor, Ron Liebman got his start there. He's married to Jessica Walters, who was on Arrested Development. She was the mom on Arrested Development.
Very
cool. We even had a Miss America who went there and all sorts of, it was fun.
Well,
that was sort of really my
friend. But, you know, also, it's the, because in my television career, I worked in Illinois, so I've worked in the Midwest, and it's just something about you Midwestern folks that, you know, leave those, the flat land and keep on headed over there to California and have these very, very successful careers. Now, let me ask you this, and I want to ask this now because I think it's pertinent. I'm getting questions in via email. There was a young lady who says that that her daughter is interested in doing television series like you do, and her question really was, what, in your experience, is there a huge difference, I guess, between character acting versus being on stage in theater?
Well, what I have found is that, you know, going from theater to television, you have to kind of think of the medium that you're going into. Stage, you use your entire body, and you're it's very, like the word says, theatrical. But when you're going and doing television, especially I had to learn this when I auditioned for any television kind of roles that came up, is that you have to think of, like, from your waist to your head, where that you have a camera on you. So you can't be as big as animated physically as you would be on the stage. You have to really kind of contain yourself physically, you know, and think about the medium that you're auditioning for. And then when you're auditioning for film, you got to think, God, that film, you've got to picture yourself on this huge screen, right? And so you even tone it down even more physically. I mean, your intentions and the work that you do with the character isn't different, but how it translates physically, it's really interesting. How you have to sort of pull back in a way physically as a turn, you know, from stage to television to film.
Right. Well, and you know what? Now that you actually mentioned that, it does make sense, because even with me being a television news anchor, when I first and of course started in my career, I have a tendency to shake my head all the time because I'm very expressive when I speak. So that, but, you know, on television, shaking your head when you're trying to read a news story, that just doesn't translate too well. So I remember one of my producers saying that he had to strap me, he had to strap me in my head to the chair because I kept moving around too much. But, you know, what was like a regular normal wiggle, you know, but to translate that to television, it just looked like a really big giant wiggle and I look crazy. So yeah, no, you're very, very right with that. Now, I'm kind of getting the sense that you love theater, though. I mean, do you love being out there on the stage? You really love it, I can tell.
You know, the stage is home base for me. I think for any actor who goes into acting as a career, as opposed to a hobby, I think you really look at the stage as going home, and. What's wonderful about stage is that, unlike television and film, once the lights go up and that show starts, it's your world from till, you know, to the end of the show, and you get to take that character and that storyline for that entire hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever the length of the play is. Mm-hmm. But when you're taping television, you're doing, you know, it's divided into scenes, and you might do you know, one scene, and then all the writers might you know, go onto the stage and throw out some lines, throw in some new lines, and you have to do another take on it and throw in lines that you've said for the very first time. And it's very, you know, it can be a little hectic. And in film, when you're doing a film, you do a lot of times. Film is not shot linearly. It's shot. You might shoot the ending at the very beginning on your first day of shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to know where you are in the script and where your character is. It's really a lot of math.
Interesting.
When you
yeah.
think about it. Yeah, and film. But I love film acting as well. It's a real challenge. Each film, television, stage all have their challenges. But the most really freeing and fulfilling and, like, without anybody starting and stopping you experience that I love the most is probably being on the stage.
Stage, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And of course, it makes sense because baby, once the curtains open and that show starts, it's not like you can stop and say, oh, I've got to go remember this line or figure this out. I'll be back. Once it starts. There is no stopping it. Yeah.
No. And theater gives you that immediate response, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can feel when an audience is really with you.
Can you,
I love it. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can feel it. Like there's like a vibration in the air, and you know when you can. It's I don't know. There's this energy,
the
there's this quality
yeah.
to the experience,
and
it's really thrilling.
Interesting. Well, speaking of that, now that you're talking about on stage, Michael has all these different things that he wants to talk to you about. So I'm actually going to bring him in on the conversation a little bit earlier. So entertainment co-host as well as producer and my sidekick, Michael Kay. Michael, how are you? Thanks for being here, love.
Well, honey, where else would I be? This is what I do and everything. I want to go ahead and make a quick mention to everybody in chat. Hi to Cheryl Wood. Marilyn Benton is taking care of our chat room tonight, as well as Michael Taylor Gray and Vincent the Bay is in the chat room. But Michael Taylor Gray, let's go back to some of the stage stuff, because the more digging I did today, the more I love you.
Oh, no.
Let's see. Tell me which came first. Was it Southern Baptist Sissies first, or was it Judy at the Stonewall Inn first?
Southern Baptist.
Yeah, Southern
Baptist. What a name.
And I know. And I was the biggest sissy of them all. And that was That was the way my character was described. Southern Baptist Sissies is a wonderful, wonderful play written by Del Shores. And Del is from Dallas, Texas, originally, and the son of a minister. So he writes what he knows, you know. Mm-hmm. And he is the king of, like, you know, Texas family situation kind of comedies and dramas as well. People might know some of his other plays, Sordid Lives, Daddy's Dying, Who's Got the Will, Trials and Tribulations of a Trailer House, Trash, oh, mm-hmm. God, I can't get that. But anyway. But Southern Baptist Sissies, I know, was the tale of four young boys who grew up in the same Baptist church in Dallas, and the path that each one of them took in life, and based sort of filtered through their religious experience there at that church. And each one of them took a very, very distinct path. And mine became a drag performer.
Whoa.
Yes. Known as Iona Traylor.
Isle of the Trailer.
Clever.
T-R-A-Y-L-O-R.
Very clever, yes.
Yeah. So that was in 2000, and we actually won the GLAAD Award for Best West Coast Play in 2001.
Oh, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
Dell Shorth must be amazing to work with.
Dell is, he is such an incredible writer, for one. He's a wonderful collaborator. He really creates an amazing environment. I just remember that first day of rehearsal at the Zephyr Theater on Melrose in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
Walking into that space and looking around. And there, right in front of me, there's Leslie Jordan. And if you remember Will and Grace, speaking of Will and Grace, he was Karen's nemesis, Beverly Leslie. It's a,
yes.
You know, short, yeah, he mm-hmm. is, there's nobody else like Leslie Jordan. Nobody. And as soon as I saw him, I went, okay, this is going to be something special. and one of the other members in the show said, you know, be prepared to do this for the next year because Dell has a really good track record and this is probably going to play really well. And it did. We played for 10 months in L.A. and then we took it on to Dallas to finish it up for like a 6-week run there. And all told, it was about a year. And that's how I got my equity card as an actor, was doing that little show here in L.A., yeah.
That's very
cool.
Wow.
How did the audiences translate from LA to Texas?
Good question.
You know what? I was concerned because the play itself is the poster has like the main character, one of the four boys is the main character, is the main narrator of it, and he's kind of, you know, standing in front of the cross, very sort of Christ-like. So there was that edge of sacrilege for some for that image, and then the play itself was very, you know, for some, you know, who were very conservative and very much fundamentalist might just be in their face kind of thing. So I was concerned that we might get some protests and things down there, but it was received as fervently down there as it was here in LA, and it was packed for the 6 weeks that we did it down there. There was not a seat in the house left open. Yeah, it was an amazing experience. Yeah, we had people come to see the show 12, 15, 20 times here in L.A.
Wow.
Fantastic.
That is wonderful.
Yeah.
Michael, I want to try to stick something in here. A little change, but not. And then Michael K. will probably take you back into the direction we were talking about. But tell us about this is a fun fact, about Banana Republic. I'd like to hear about Banana Republic.
Oh, you. Why must you bring up my worker bee days?
Please, let's talk about Banana Republic.
They are fabulous clothes. They are the high tier end of Gap Incorporated because you have Banana Republic, Gap, and Old Navy.
Yes.
So, when I graduated from CalArts, that's where I got my master's in acting up in Valencia, California, just north of Los Angeles. I moved to New York for a couple of years. I just decided that's an experience that I wanted to have in my life as an actor. I wanted to get to know that world. So when I moved there, I put in applications here and there, and I got hired at Banana Republic at 52nd and 5th Avenue. And then I worked close to the Chelsea. I worked in another store there as well. And within about a month or so, I got the lay of the land there, and I became what they call a clientele specialist.
Oh,
so, which is like, you know, you keep a client book, and you – it's like an in-store personal shopper.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
But if you saw me dressing today, you'd be wondering, how the hell did that happen?
That is too funny. That is too funny.
Well, you were just as successful as Banana Republic, as
that was
my information. I think your last quarter, you reported over $2 million in sales, was what my research told me. So,
my total sales for the time that I worked there, for this, I think the 6 years that I worked there, was like $2 million in sales total. Yeah.
Whoa.
I worked my tush off for them. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's not commission either. But I was making I left there, believe it or not, with benefits when I was making close to $22-$23 an hour. So
that's
for retail,
bad.
That's like that's unheard of.
Yeah, for retail, right? I mean, I've never worked retail, but I hear that's not bad for retail, right?
Oh, no. They were hiring people in part-time at like $7.25 an hour. And if they knew what I was making, they would have been
what? If they knew what you were making, they probably would have tried to stuff you in one of those closets in the boxes with the shirts and
they
you guys fold
they
up.
They would have stuffed me into a size of, you know, women's size 6. It wouldn't have been pretty.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been, and it wouldn't have been a closet either, if you know what I mean.
No,
because
let me tell you something.
Pretty,
I know how to get out of those.
Oh my goodness! Well, look,
as you do.
Speaking of, I think there's like a side conversation going on here right now to all of us.
I know.
So look, let's talk about pretty. So I was so excited because, of course, on Facebook, everybody knows that you know Michael K. just loves pretty. And, of course, you got the Addicted to the Web series and all that stuff. But you guys, Steve Silverman, congratulations. Because are you up for an award, or did you already get it?
We are. Well, we have won. We did get awarded one, like Best Ensemble and Best. Got the first one. Steve will have to remind you what that is. I can't think right now. But but we do have some nominations that have come up. There's these two girls in Victoria. Oh, you like that, Victoria, Canada.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah,
that'd be your battle. That's your drag name from now on, Victoria Canada.
Victoria Canada, I like that.
Yeah, I've decided. And they have it's Indie Intertube, their website, and they celebrate everything. They promote
celebrate everything
web related, and they came up with their own nominations. Get this, 56 categories. I love it. 56.
Love
it. Why not? Because the web is so wide open with
it's
creative.
So why not?
Yeah. So I applaud them for their how much fun they had doing this, and they nominated us for like 9 various awards, and they even singled me out for best supporting actor in a comedy, which I thought was fun.
Congratulations!
That
was great. And who else was nominated? Because Sam Pancake was nominated, correct?
Oh, yeah, because of the series and for writing for the song, and Sam and Kirsten Vangsness with Sam Pancake. And then We Love Soaps TV just came out with their nominations for their second annual web award nominations, and they gave us, I think, 7 nominations, and I think Sam and Stacy were nominated as well, and Kirsten and the song again, and Steve for directing and for writing and for best series and ensemble. I mean, we've been getting really it's wonderful, the kind of recognition that's going on out there, the support within the web community itself, and then, you know, of course, and you guys have been just incredible.
We love you and we love funny. That's because we know good talent. And you know what? I kind of have this flash inside my head, which I often do sometimes. But you were talking about how wide the web is, and I guarantee that there is going to be a day where on television they're actually going to have those type of award show on television for the web. It's just a matter of time before that's going to happen.
Yeah, the We Love Soaps TV, they're doing their web awards. They're actually holding theirs in New York on, I think, towards the end of February at the Alvin Ailey Center. They're 55th and 9th, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's nice that they're starting to get, you know, dedicated venues already.
Yes, absolutely.
And then, like you said, I think the next logical step is going to be something that you'll see. And then you'll see a lot more of these award shows. I picture, like, the Golden Globes having, web.
And that's exactly what I was trying to say in so many words, because if you think about it, even the Golden Globe and all those Oscars and awards, they had to have started somewhere. So it's just a natural extension that you've got all these shows and things on the web. So that in itself is a whole new genre and just creating a whole new thing. So it's just a matter of time before that is going to propel itself, I think, into being something huge also. So congratulations to those two web organizations that's already started doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I watched the other day. There's these guys based in England called those Video Guys, and they have a live streaming talk show. And it's the same kind of thing as these girls in Canada that just talk about everything web related, web series related. And they featured us this last week. It was great to tune in. And I'm like, wow, they're talking about us in England.
That's fantastic.
Doesn't that make you happy, though, when you're like, man, all the way in England? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's what's so amazing about the web is that it's like the – I almost feel like it's like the early days of television where people thought, God, there were so many possibilities. We can do anything, this new medium, TV, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like – and so I encourage people because I take a lot of – I work at a place called Now Casting, and the initial part of the casting process is all electronic. It's all online now, and that's what our company does. And we also host within our offices here lots of classes and workshops and stuff like that. And so when I speak with other actors here, I tell them, I encourage them, I say, do a web series. Write. Get involved. I said, this is the new frontier. It's happening now.
Yeah. And you know, also what's interesting about that, too, and both Michaels, I know you both are going to agree with this, and I see it more so just being in the television news industry. A long time ago, you know, like someone like me, although I'm a journalist and, you know, a lot of journalists, you know, don't never make it to having their own show. So the reason why I'm able to have my own show is simply because of the new technology. So I no longer have to wait for somebody to say, hey, we're going to give you your own show. I just go do my own show and do it myself. So that whole thing with the gatekeepers and having that middle person, you know, that whole thing is just basically gone. So even, you know, if you want to act, or, you know, you can act and put something on the on YouTube, and, you know, it can be a sensation. I mean, think about the guy, and I know you guys have been watching this on the news, the gentleman who was homeless with that incredible voice.
From Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah,
place in Ohio that I lived before I moved to California. Yes, the man with the gold.
And it was, and you know, and I think the story goes where, you know, he was homeless and obviously homeless, and there were some guys that videotaped him, and they would always see him, and they videotaped him and said, this is the man with the golden voice, and they put it on YouTube, and now here he is today.
I think it was a local reporter, not unlike yourself, who really got the ball rolling on that.
Yes,
and within
was.
A day, like you said, within a day, next day, you know, he's on the Today Show.
Yes.
You know, and the Cleveland Cavaliers and all these other are offering him, you know, gigs.
I mean, he, you know, it's very clear. He's never going to have to really not ever not worry about not having a job. I mean, as long as I know he got in that situation apparently because of drugs, but he says he's been clean for 2 years. So I think as long as he can stay clean, he's just going to be successful. So, yeah. And I'm glad that you were able
to. He just went into rehab,
And I'm glad that.
Courtesy of Dr. Phil.
Yeah, I'm glad that we were able to fit him into our conversation because he's an example of somebody timely like that, what you're talking about, this new technology.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, think of him. I think of Susan Boyle.
Yes, her too,
It's just amazing how her life is
changed.
Doesn't cover it.
Overnight.
Cover it. I mean, overnight, she's one of the biggest selling recording artists over the last year. I mean, I think she's the biggest selling recording artist in England last year.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. It's just unbelievable. So it's pretty amazing what can happen. And that's why. So the only limitations we can put on ourselves are just those that we, you know, voluntarily put on ourselves.
Yeah.
So
that's a good
word. And your testament.
Good word,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're doing
very,
a great job.
I'm excited about it because, you know, it was one of those things throughout my whole television career. You know, we always go and interview people every day as reporters. And basically, of all the interviews that we do, you can have anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes of an interview on a tape, but the max that we would show on television was no more than maybe one or two sound bites of 30 seconds. And I always used to think, I would get so frustrated because I never felt like I could really tell the person's whole story. And I always used to think, you know, one of these days, you know, I could care less if I'm famous or not. I don't care, but I would love to have a avenue that's just my own where if somebody wants to come on like yourself and talk about what you do and encourage other people for 2 hours, then I could care less with no commercials and, hey, let's do it. So, yeah, I'm, you know, obviously a person who went out on my own and did that as well. I do have a question in here, and this is from a young man who lives in New York, and his name is Roger. He says, hey, by the way, I've been to that Banana Republic. He goes, it's not as good as what it was when you were there. So I don't know, maybe he knows you. He says it's gone downhill now.
Well, it's gone all over the place. They moved it to, it used to be 52nd and 5th, and then it's now over at Rockefeller Center. I think. And then, because I had gone to one that went down the near Astor, 5th and 16th, and they split that one up too. They were messing with things right and left. So I go back and I just, you know, I kind of reminisce and for about a minute because, you know, that's all I'm going to give retail anymore.
Right. Move on, right. Well, yeah, Roger didn't really have a question. He was just kind of joking, saying, ha, ha, ha. He's like, it's not there anymore. It's not the same place, and it's not been the same ever since he's been in charge of it. So that's funny.
How sweet.
Michael, do we have some music that we're supposed to listen to since I've been back?
Yeah, I wanted to go ahead and actually make a little suggestion, too, is that with all this talk about these independent awards, you know, Victoria, I think you and I could put together an award show picking out the best in music and web series. And I think that's a pretty good idea. Because
well,
we've
done over 100 shows now, so I think we certainly
can pick
have
some out of that
experience. Yeah, and Michael, we're very fortunate.
Something.
We've gotten over 20,000 listeners this past year, so I think we can do that.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Because, you know, we could definitely go ahead and recommend Shelley Rand, because Shelley Rand is the one that did one of the other suggested bumpers for Pretty when Steve Silverman was looking for all those indie bands to go ahead and provide alternative theme songs. And I just happened to have Shelley Rand. That's really brilliant. And I loved each one was so different at the end of each episode. It was a very good idea.
And you happen to have her
different
song,
takes,
right?
And different layers, yeah. Go ahead.
Absolutely, and I do. I have Shelley Rand's Gumdrop song, so I'm going to go ahead and play it, everybody. Shelley Rand also does the bumper for At Home with Victoria, and we love her so much. Her album at Amazon.com sold out today, which is very, very good news. But more coming in. But until then, this is Shelley Rand featuring the Gumdrop song.
The only one of all the covers that make Gumdrop's death like a happy, uppy thing.
I know,
really?
It's a dreamlike thing.
He died. I'm like lovely. It's
but
picking you up. Which I just killed right then, but that's all right.
Yeah, it is a happy, yeah. I mean, you listen to that, Michael and Michael, and you're just like really happy. I mean, even if something's wrong with it, you're just like, well, it can't be wrong. Cause this song just makes me happy. I'm happy.
Yes, I love that Steve got the creativity and his mind works on so many different levels, and to think, what else can I do to make season two a little bit more fun and interesting and playful, and say, hey, well, let's do like cover versions of the theme song at the end of each episode.
Yeah.
And how fun! And I love the Spanish one.
And not only that.
Yeah, it was good too.
And not only that, I like it how his idea of getting other people and fans involved with the show as well. You guys have a lot of fans out there. You really do.
Well, you know, little Lily, our little actual 6 or 7 year old that's a part of season two. That's Annette's a pageant girlfriend and sort of rival. She was a fan of the show. Her mom, you know, was a fan, and she was a fan, It just, the next thing you know, she's a part of the show.
Really?
Just,
that's how that happened?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
very cool. I didn't know that.
You put an open call on Facebook one day, so that was really fun to go ahead and see transition to see how it would actually work out. And the little girl is really a good actor. Her and Annette play off each other very, very well.
They actually became just really, really, just, they had so much fun together, and Stacey was so lovely with her, and the last day of shooting, her name is Isis, and she's just so sweet. She had us all sign a poster for her and everything, and she cried.
Oh, Isis sounds like a superhero name to me. I'm Isis.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah, it just sounds like a superhero
right.
one. Isis. Let's go activate Isis.
Yeah, it was her first
her first speaking role. She's never done any kind of...
That's great.
A little bit of acting, but had never done anything with lines.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Michael, listen, you know Michael and I kept you way longer than what we were supposed to. We've got a few minutes left with you, but I want to ask you before we have to say goodbye. I know you talked a little bit about the company that you work with now. So is that open to anyone, like, who's interested in perhaps trying to take lessons online, or what's the deal with that? Tell us.
Well, if you're interested in acting at all, if you're going to pursue it at all, because the initial part of the casting process is all online now, you have to have your actor profile online.
Okay.
And nowcasting.com, we have a database of actors of well over 250,000 actors. If you're an actor at all, you have to have your profile on there. That's your resume, your bio, your resume clips, your demo reel, anything that you would need to market yourself as an actor is part of our site.
Okay.
And, so I would encourage anybody to kind of go there and just check it out if you're an actor. Check that out. The resources you need are there. And, in this new world, this gives you a lot of really great tools for us.
Hey, Michael, we're kind of losing you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, yeah, we kind of lost you there for a good second. But anyway, he was saying, and we have the website and the information on our site, so if anybody is interested, you can make sure that you go there. But before we let you go, so is there anything
uh-huh.
you've got coming up that we can come see you in that we're going to see you?
I just started rehearsals. I joined a gospel choir called Selah, S-E-L-A-H. A friend of mine was in this choir. I saw them perform at the holidays, and they were just fantastic. And they have an open call to join. And so I went to my first rehearsal, and there'll be a concert in May.
Yeah,
I know that's a little ways down the road.
Yeah, but that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's so wonderful to be a part of that kind of an organization, and this concert's going to have a Broadway kind of the feel to it. They're doing music from Broadway shows, anything like from ragtime to
Michael
to
loves
hair,
that. Oh
Duke
my goodness,
star.
You shouldn't have said that. Michael K loves that. Michael, what is that Glee that you love? Oh my goodness, he's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Well, I do love Glee, but last night's Glee performance. Was gayer than I've ever seen it. They did LaJazz. Well, they did LaJazz Hot from Victor Victoria, and it's a fantastic scene with Julie Andrews. It's really spectacular when you see it on the big screen. And Glee did it fantastic too. Don't get me wrong, I'm not taking anything away, but it was seriously just the gayest thing I've ever seen in my life, complete with fringe. It was just like fringe and sequins everywhere.
Okay. Well, you know the new football coach on Glee.
Uh huh. Yeah.
She used to be Dottie. She used to be my neighbor in the a couple apartments ago.
Really?
She's fun. She's really, yeah. She we used to live in the same apartment building. She couldn't get nicer.
That is very cool.
Wow.
I'll definitely have to make sure I watch for her. Well, we always love when you come on, and we're going to continue to follow you. And I'm sure by May you'll be back on here talking about something else, because we always we like to build relationships, as Michael liked to say, with our guests. We're not one-time hit wonders where you come on once and then we don't want to hear
you write
a book or something. Yeah, we like to at least talk to you 3 or 4 times a year.
Absolutely.
Well, I or more.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
and
I want to come out and hang out with you in D.C. sometime.
Oh, my goodness. If you ever decide to come to D.C., sweetie, all you have to do is say the word. I will roll out the red carpet for you. Don't you worry about that. I'll roll it out for you.
I haven't been there since 81, since I was a freshman in high school, so it's time.
Well, Michael and I will definitely roll it out for you. And trust me, we will have something planned for you every single day. So you would have to say, hey, Victoria, I need a couple of days just by myself, because I'll have something planned. I'll have you at the White House. You'll be meeting the Obamas. I'll have you at the Capitals, at Georgetown.
Oh.
I'll have you all over the place.
On it. I'm booking
a
flight right now.
And Michael can tell you, I'm not lying. I will throw you in my car.
Not.
You will be you'll be all over the place. You would be like, get me back on a plane to get me out of here.
Actually,
the other thing that I will probably do is connect you with the acting theater community in D.C., because I know a lot of those folks. And by the time I'm done with you, you'll be doing a one-man act on one of the Lincoln Theater or something here in D.C. We'll be coming
I'll
to
be
D.C.
booked for 8 venues.
Yeah.
I won't be able to lately.
Yes.
Michael, before you go... before you go, just let us know the finale of Pretty is coming up, and you're promising big surprises. I know you can't reveal the location of the finale, but the finale is released on what date, and who is your special guest star?
Well, we're having a screening, I think, on the 20th in Hollywood at a special location, which is wonderful to celebrate the season 2 finale. But the actual online debut of the finale is January 24th. That's a Monday. And with a very special guest star, Joan Van Ark from TV fame of Knots Landing. Yeah. And she'll be doing something very, very far away from her character that you know her. So I can't tell you anything, but I know that a lot of great storylines are going to come together and a lot of shocking things. And Steve is already talking about a season 3, so I'm excited. Yeah.
Yay. Well, thank you, sweetheart, and we always love you and send our blessings and everything with you. We'll talk to you again very soon. We love you.
I hope so. We love you, too.
We love you very much. Love to the cast. Say hi to Steve.
Absolutely.
I know.
Take care.
We just love these guys so much. And again, for those of you that are joining us or if you've been with us, we have been having a wonderful conversation with one of the cast from Pretty. But not only that, Michael Taylor Gray has been on the show before, but this is really his first time by himself and talking extensively about his career, how he got into acting, character acting, but more importantly, his background in theater. You have seen him in My Name is Earl. You've seen him in Without a Trace, Will and Grace. You've seen him in the web series Pretty, and also he talked about his work on the stage and the company that he is working for right now. So if you are an actor or an actress, I, you know, encourage you to check out his website because, Michael, that's great to be able to learn that craft right there at home in the privacy of your home on the computer, you know?
Yeah, it's fantastic, and it's something, like I said, that's very cutting edge and making the rounds. It's called Now Casting Incorporated. You can check out the links. Everything is actually in the chat room right now. Vic, I just want to go quickly to the chat room, say hi to Goofy Bone, my friend. I want to say hi to Catherine Taddy, Mar Ben, you've been fantastic as producer, and Michael Taylor Gray once as ever. Thank you so much for joining us. Much love to all of the other guests in the chat room. Victoria, we have some brand new people visiting us tonight, so that's very exciting.
Hello, and I have not been in the chat room because I don't particular tonight have that window up, but I certainly do want to say a hearty thank you and welcome to the guests that are joining us, and also specifically if you came tonight just to listen to Michael's interview, come back anytime. You're always welcome. Also, if you have a story idea or whether it's a nonprofit, a community story, an organization, or something positive that you just want to tell us about, we're always open. And, you know, just email myself or Michael K. You can find us on Facebook, and we'll definitely get that on the air from you for you. And I just want to go quickly back, because I know we only have a few minutes, about Shelley Rand. So I'm just excited that CD sold out. I mean, we just love her here. And if you ever hear our open and soon-to-be close of our show, that's Shelley's voice and her music. She put that together for us. But that is so awesome that it sold out. Isn't that great?
It is, and it was funny because Catherine Taddy sent Steve an email today saying that I'm really kind of angry that now I have to wait for it. I should have bought it at the pre-order. So it was really nice to go ahead and click on and see that it actually had sold out, but more copies are being actually sent. So many congrats to Shelley Rand, our favorite person here at Home with Victoria. And I think, Victoria, we should close the show with a little bit of afterwards. What do you think?
Yeah, I do. I think so. I just got one point, and then we can say goodbye. I also wanted to also thank everybody if you contribute. Contributed to the fund of Debbie Flora. As you guys may remember, Michael and I were very honored that Debbie's sister came on, Celeste, to talk about Debbie when she was missing. She's a Las Vegas dancer who was killed by her ex-boyfriend who's now in prison. But her sister came on when she was missing, and she came on the show twice, and we had a special show. We're trying to get the word out there and try to help her. And in fact, we were the first to get her on the air over the national news network. So Michael and I did the interview, and then the next day all the national media got it. So Kelsey McCall, who is friends with the family, made that happen for us. But in any event, her mother and father and her family would like her to be buried in Puerto Rico, which she is originally from. So they don't quite have all the funds to get her back there. So the family is asking for a donation. So if you are interested in donations, I assure you, if you Google Debbie Flores, then the website and all the information will come up. So with that said, hey, thank you so much for listening to At Home with Victoria. It is always a pleasure. And Michael, what are we going to end with again?
Yeah, we're going to end with Afterward. And good night, everybody. Have a great night. Here's some Afterward by Shelley Rand.
You can ride it in smoke with a plane across the sky. You can sing it in a song, a poem, a sweet lullaby. You can stir up emotions in me that I can't control. But words alone can't quench this thirst in my taking my